While the Korean wave has yet to crash onto American shores with any significant volume, a few Korean films and filmmakers have landed cult or art house successes here. We previously spoke to Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr about the film Snowpiercer by director Bong Joon-ho. Snowpiercer had a very limited release in American theaters, but is now doing gangbusters on demand. After our conversation with Yoon Hee-hong, we went back to Ty and asked him about other South Korean films that have been adapted for Western audiences in recent years.
Well, it's interesting. You know, Korean film is sort of in a similar position as a Japanese genre film was in about 10, 12 years ago when Japanese movies like Ringu were getting remade as American horror movies, Ring. And in fact, Hollywood has a history of looking overseas, finding interesting creative stuff, and then dumbing it down for American audiences. The difference is, you know, the change in availability of these films, and you can pretty much get anything you want to get your hands on thanks to the internet. Snowpiercer, which is directed by Bong Joon-ho, is only the latest of his very wonderful movies. So yeah, you can see Bong Joon-ho's earlier movies. I mean, The Host got a pretty big release in the United States, and that is a wonderful monster movie, sort of like a tongue-in-cheek Godzilla with a sort of gonzo creative side of its own. But one of his early movies called Memories of Murder did get an art house release in this country, but very few people have seen it. And it's a fascinating movie, kind of like David Fincher's Zodiac. It's about the police trying to catch a serial killer. Park Chan-wook is probably the other most well-known Korean director in this country, especially with his Vengeance trilogy, Lady Vengeance, Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, and Old Boy, which was just remade by Spike Lee. Unnecessarily, but, you know, nice try.
South Korea has a pretty vibrant film industry, at least domestically. What do you think is behind that?
Like a number of other countries in the Pacific Rim, I think there's a real cross-fertilization in the many different aspects of their popular culture. So you've got, you know, comics and manga, and, you know, the manga-like comics feeding into genre filmmaking and whatever's going on in TV and whatever's going on the internet and in music. You've just got a lot of young energy taking, you know, traditional American genres and ideas and taking them for a spin around the block and pulling them apart and putting them together in unusual ways. There's just a sort of freedom of movement between genres. One of the things I like about the new Korean filmmakers is that the films look like they're in a certain genre, but once you see the movies, they leap all over the fence. They go whichever way they want to.
What would you say characterizes or ties together the films that are coming out of South Korea?
Well, it's easy to say that there's a lot of interest in you know, the more violent genres, suspense, action, horror, and that definitely is an aspect. But you do get some remarkable dramas there's an aspect of romance there, but that hasn't played out in a lot of Korean film. I'm thinking of movies like Poetry by Lee Chang-dong, which is about an older woman taking poetry classes and dealing with tragedies in her life. Again, it sounds like typical art house fare, but it takes a couple of turns that make it feel really unusually fresh and incredibly moving at the end. Kim Kai-duk, who is a director who specializes in pretty outrageous genre fare, where his movies can get pretty graphic, made this absolutely gorgeous Buddhist movie, I mean, for lack of a better word, called Spring, Summer, Fall, Winter, and Spring, which was an art house hit here back, I think, in 2005.
I remember that one.
Yeah. It's very different from the movies he usually makes, but that's another instance of how you really can't pigeonhole a lot of these directors of the movies that they're making. I mean, it's when we're used to movies that really follow a set path, certainly the commercial multiplex movies in this country, and even the so-called independent films. You know, you go to a Woody Allen or a Wes Anderson movie, or certainly a Transformers movie, and you know how it's going to go. These movies, you don't know where they're going to go. You start at one point, and who knows where you'll end up.
Do you think they, just because of the language barrier, they'll ever be able to really transcend to the multiplex? I mean, Snowpiercer crossed over because it's made in English.
Snowpiercer crossed over because it's made in English and it has a box office star and still wasn't allowed to fully cross over. It's doing very, very well in on demand. But No, I mean, any movies with subtitles and not recognizable English language stars are not going to really take off in this country. The only a few exceptions I can think of are like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which, I mean, that was a fluke, and that was even that was how long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So these the original the Korean films are probably going to be cult favorites and sort of delights to an inside audience, which doesn't mean that outside audiences should go find them. And again, these are so much easier to find now. I would love to tell your listeners to go dig up The Host, Bong Joon-ho's The Host, or Spring, Summer, Fall, Winter, and Spring, or Poetry, or Old Boy, if they have the nerves of steel. Even something like a movie like Kim Jo-woon's The Good, the Bad, and the Weird. Not a great movie. It kind of goes over the top early and often, but it's a lot of fun, and it shows a director just sort of letting his imagination run free. I'd love more people to see these movies.
Well, we'll have a full list of those suggestions on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Ty, thanks so much for filling us in. Ty Burr, film critic for the Boston Globe and author of Gods Like Us on Movies, Stardom, and Modern Fame. A link to more on the book as well at wordofmouthradio.org. Sound design is an integral part of filmmaking and, as it turns out, also an important part of televised sporting events. The sound of sport and why you may not want to believe everything you hear when Word of Mouth continues.